Good morning and welcome here to all of you, whether you are visiting or whether you attend here regularly, we welcome you here. So this morning, might be a little bit different, but Wednesday night, not this past Wednesday night, but the Wednesday night before that, we had some sort of a Bible study or whatever we call it, and through in that there was a discussion came up that kind of piqued my interest, or it awakened something that I had, studied some already, and so I've been thinking about that since that, and it's a bit of a complex topic, but so this morning in the children's lesson, the children heard that God is all powerful. He is the creator of the universe. He's all powerful, and that is correct. But what we had looked at, I don't know how many of you remember, but the Bible actually teaches us that Satan is the ruler of this world. And we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about that. So I think that is a reality that we have to accept, that Satan is a ruler, the ruler of this world. How can we, how does that fit with God being sovereign, God being over all? How can yet also Satan be ruler of this world? So, sometimes I almost think that a topic like this would be better in a Bible study form more, where it is not only me doing the talking, but where it would be open for the audience to speak up. And when I look at the scriptures, actually, I see how church services or worship services were conducted, I do actually see in that there would be more possibly precipitation from more than one individual. That is the way I see. So I would welcome if you would actually speak up if you have Bible verses or something that you feel would fit the context, or then I would welcome that if you speak up. If you can get my attention. If you can't, then just speak up and I'll hear you. So first of all, to get a better picture of what we're talking, so maybe we should define what that means. When we think of, we need to have a proper understanding of what the Bible talks about when it talks about the world. So if you have studied anything in words about in Greek or Hebrew, or if you have done any of those studies, you will know the word cosmos. That is what is when it talks about the world. Then it comes from the Greek word cosmos, or whatever the pronunciation is, I'm not sure. That word is almost always. So what the word cosmos actually means is it's actually an orderly arrangement. It is the present state of things. It's an orderly arrangement. That's what that word means. It is almost always translated as world, with one exception. And we're going to go there just to if it just puts a little bit of a different light onto what that word actually means. If you go to 1 Peter 3, verse 3, I'm going to read that verse. So it is talking about wives here not adorning themselves. So it says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of the gold and putting on of apparel. So that word adorning, that word adorning is the same Greek word as what is translated world in almost all other instances. So if you think about that, when you think about world, when it's talking about the adorning, a woman adorning herself, so it's arranging herself, that the way she arranges herself, that's what it's talking about. So when it's when the Greek word world, it is an orderly arrangement, that's what it is. So the way the world is arranged, the arrangement of the present state of things, that is what the word world means. And that is what Satan is ruling over. The present state of affairs, the way things are arranged. And I think maybe sometimes it is more temporal. God is greater than that. He is greater than the present state of things. God is over and above that. And I'm not much for drawings it's not very complex, but when we think, so most of us will see the present state of things, so that is, we call that the world, and then the rest and beyond this is the kingdom of God. So when you, if that alarms us that Satan is the ruler of this world, and then it might be that we have made the world, the present state of things, we have too a high view of it or too high regard for it. The world is a very small portion. The present state of things, when you think of the creation, when you think of an eternal God, God is everything else but that. God is not excluded. God is not that God is not present in here, but he is over, he is beyond that. He is also, but in that, Satan has been given dominion in the present state of things to a large degree. So, when I think about that, it's similar to when I think of my farm. My farm is, some of you would say it's a big farm, but whatever our perspective is, my farm is a very small blip on the globe. And when I bought that, when I buy a piece of land, then what happens there, I've been given a certain amount of dominion over that. However, I don't really own I'm not as much as an owner of that as what we often think we are. I've been told that so you don't actually buy land. What you buy is a right. What you buy is a right to a right to farm the land, a right to use it, but you don't actually buy the land. The land is not yours. So even though on my farm, what happens on my farm is very much I have dominion over what happens on my farm to some degree. However, I only have a portion of dominion. I can only do what the country, what the ruling, governing body of the country of the, in this case, it's Canada. So I own my farm in Canada. So the governing body in Canada will still determine what I can do on my farm. And that's the same way in here. So even in that, in Satan being a ruler of the world, he is limited to the ruling power that is beyond. Maybe we'll just read some of the verses just to John 12:31, and just go through and read some of these verses, and then now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So that is Jesus speaking. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John 14:30. I think it's a lot of the times in the Gospel of John, and then some in hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Again, that's Jesus speaking. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. I think that is referring to Satan, John 16:11. Of judgment, I'll read a few verses there. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Talks again about the prince of this world. So that, I think those were all Jesus' words. If we go to 2 Corinthians 4. But if our gospel be hid, so this is starting in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there it is again referring to the prince of the power of the air. And again referring to Satan. So we see in all those verses there is a teaching that there is a prince in the power of the air, in the present state of things, that he is ruling the world. Now, how did that come into being? Maybe we'll read in Genesis. That's kind of where our discussion came out of, anyhow, on last Wednesday, and that is out of the creation and then the fall of man. So it seems, so how did this come to be? I don't know, but it seems to me that this is what it would be. After Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, then God came to them, and first of all, they played the blame game there. And I'll start reading maybe in verse 13 of chapter 3. And the Lord God asked the woman, "What is it that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat all the dust of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and it shall bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and shall desire. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And to Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it in all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall I bring forth to thee, shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground, and for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." So it seems that to a large degree, it was the fall of man that brought this curse on the present state of things, and put a darkness and a power over the present state of affairs, over the world that is ruled by Satan. And that is the reason why the Bible also tells us that's the reason that it says that unless someone is born again, in John 3:3, it says, unless someone is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. So that's again similar to if we live in the world and we have no concept of anything beyond. All that we know is what we experience, the present realm that we experience here and now. If we believe that is the entirety of existence, if that's as much as we know, if that's what we believe, then we are under a darkness that we don't comprehend beyond our present reality. If that's all we know, then we are in darkness and we do not see the kingdom of God. And then if we are not born again, we cannot see that. We cannot see beyond the realm. Maybe depending, I think there is maybe different levels of that, depending on our upbringing, how much more knowledge we have or what we actually believe that is beyond our realm. But as far as the kingdom of God, to see the fullness of the kingdom of God, we have to be born again. If I were to keep somebody on, similar to if I were to have employees on my farm, and I would just keep them confined to my space and doing the things the way it gets done on our farm, the way I do it, the way we do it there, and I would be able to confine them to that so that they would have no knowledge of what goes on outside of my farm, I would have the ability to persuade them of anything, or they would be under my dominion a lot more than if they know, if they have a greater understanding of what goes on outside of that. That may sound like impossible, but there was this family that I was thinking, as I was thinking about this, there was this family that had been living in one of the homes of the people of the church here, where they lived in confinement. That's what they did. They lived in a house, and there was in that family there was maybe teenagers, maybe almost 20, and those children had never been in a Walmart. They were so confined to their home. The father, it was a very controlling father, and they were so confined to that home that they knew, they had very little knowledge of the outside world. And it's almost, if we don't experience that, we can hardly relate to that. How could it be that we live in this world, and yet we have no knowledge of what goes on outside of maybe what happens in our home, maybe going in and out a little bit? But if the more we are confined to a certain space, the less knowledge we have about the greater existence of what goes on beyond that. And so, before people are converted and born again, and before they can see the kingdom of God, they are confined to the realms of existence here. That's as far as they can comprehend. And that's why we are where we are. When we get let's just turn to John 15. Just read a few verses there in verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The world hate you. Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world before the world. Therefore the world hateth you. So here Jesus is teaching his disciples that he has chosen them out of the world. So in the same way, so he has chosen them out of the world. Does that mean that if we have been born again, that we are now removed from this world? No, that's not what that means. We are still in the world, but we have a knowledge of what... That's when Jeremiah was talking about the Spirit of God that dwells in us. That is like a guarantee to us. It is... The Bible teaches us that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we have been translated out of the world. We've been brought out of the world into this kingdom. However, we still dwell in the present state of things, and we are being ambassadors for the kingdom of God. In this present world, we are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. From this, take this for a different country, and we are from this country and ambassadors in this here country. But it is important for us to realize that in this world, Satan has dominion over it. Satan is a ruler of, there is a power of the air, and Satan has dominion over that, in that realm. But we can, that does not need to alarm us. It should not alarm us, because we know that the world, the whole, even this here portion of the world, it is not, God is not that he cannot comprehend that. Even that realm is in God's power. And sometimes people, when you think about who causes hardship, is it God? Go ahead. You're talking about in the wilderness? Can you expound on that a bit? And do you see there's difference of views on that, and there's some people would believe that Satan was lying when he said that Satan is a liar and he can't even offer that. He didn't have that to give. Personally, I believe he had that to give. That's what I believe. That Satan has dominion, and he would have offered what he was offering there. We'll just go there. If we go to Matthew chapter 4 and start in verse 9. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and the angels came down and ministered to him. First of all, Jesus didn't call Satan a liar. He didn't say that he couldn't offer that. He just said that he. But what I believe that Satan was offering to Jesus there is a place in a position of power in the world, in the present state of things, and Jesus turned it down. And there would have been many reasons why Jesus would have wanted to take that for the present time, because the alternative was not to have that power over the present state of things, and thereby going to the cross, enduring what he endured. That's the way it seems to me. Anyhow, sometimes people wonder about who causes evil, who causes hardship or sickness or whatever. And those are very difficult things. Those are very difficult things to recently, I was talking to someone where this individual he was talking about somebody else whom he had contact with, and this individual is a very local man, actually, that he had lost his wife in an accident. And he just said, the last time I met him, he was a very bitter man. And he was also not a man of faith, but he was a very bitter man. Things like that, it can cause people to be bitter, and I would say they have a very, they have a much bigger reason to cause us, or to, they have a much bigger handle on us if we believe that this world, the present state of things, is the end of whatever. If that's what we believe, then things like that have a very heavy impact on us. And he was saying there was another man similar, where many years ago he had an accident, and he didn't have an accident. So his wife was in an accident, and she had two daughters. I don't know if they were twins. I don't remember anymore. But ever since that accident, he was bitter. He blamed his wife for causing the accident, I think. But he was so bitter that he was at this farm with another individual, and they had in working on a piece of equipment there, and they had been asked to come in for lunch, and when they did that, then this other man that was with him, before they had lunch, he said, well, he's asked if it's okay if they have say grace for the meal, and he was such a bitter man that he flared right up, and he basically didn't want anything to do with that. And so the individual said, well, that's unfortunate to hear, but maybe I need to have a talk with you. But he said, would you excuse us while we do that? And so this man of his own, from his own house, he went outside the door while they had their grace for the meal, and then afterward he came back in, and 10 minutes later or whatever, but he was so bitter, he was so against God that because of that, and I think he was maybe, I think he would have somewhat been a man of faith before anyhow the accident, but I don't know. But he was so bitter against God because of this accident that he didn't want anything to do with God anymore. And it seems to me that if that's the case, then we put too heavy emphasis on the present state of things. The present state of things is, it's like our life. Well, our life is the present state of things. We know the world has been in existence, we believe, for a few thousand years, like 6,000 years approximately maybe. But even in that, our life is shorter than that. It is, and James, I think, it calls it a vapor. It's like a vapor that is here today and gone tomorrow. And if we put a heavy emphasis on the present state of things, then what happens to us in this present state of things has a very large impact on us, and it does. I'm not making light of that. That even much smaller things than accidents and losing loved ones. There's all levels of hardship and that come our way, sickness that come our way, that it affects us. It affects us. And yet we need to look beyond that and see that the present state of things is just a very small, in the light of eternity, it's a very small, I don't know. When I think about that, I think I have not endured, I personally have not endured much hardship in my life, and I hardly feel qualified to speak on that, but that is what I believe, that if we experience hardship, we need to, at any level, whatever level we need to come to the realization that this here, the present state of things is actually very minute, and and that the God that is in control, sometimes we think God is in control, but we still don't think further than our present state of things. We don't think beyond what is said. So God is in control of our circumstance right here and now. God is bigger than that. God can use, he can use things even in this world where Satan has dominion over it. He uses things that happen in the realm of Satan's control. And he did that. And when we, the most, the best example of that is on the cross. It was the powers of this world. It was the Satan's dominion over this world that crucified Jesus. It was that saved, brought us salvation. So God is able to do that. I'm trying to think of that Bible verse where it says, if they would have known. So the spirits that control this realm, if they would have known what they are doing when they did it, they wouldn't have done that. And I'm not sure where that is, in what context, but I know it's in the scriptures in the New Testament somewhere that it says if the spirits in this realm would have known what they're doing when they crucified Christ, they wouldn't have done that. Just to, there's a few other scriptures I would like to go to yet, just to establish the fact that Satan, I believe, is the ruler of this world, but God has dominion over that. And let's just read those verses in Matthew 28:20. That's at the end of Matthew, some people would call it the Great Commission. It's more like 18. I'll read the whole portion there, the 16 to 20. When the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So when verse 18 says, Jesus says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Ephesians 1:1. It's interesting that Ephesians 1:1 talks about the sovereignty of God, if you want to call that, and then Ephesians 2:2 talks about the prince of this world and the dominion that Satan has. I'm sorry, it's 1:11, I think. In whom we are also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So God here, it just so shows here that God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So that includes, I believe that includes things that are in the realm of the world. God can use even those things where Satan has dominion over. He can even use those things to bring his own will into fruition. First Corinthians 10. It's a bit of read a few verses here, starting in 25. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them believe not, bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered to sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So just to clarify that not everything that is, it's not that God is not present, that God is not out of the realm, that this is out of God's realm, that Satan just controls this part and that's out of God's realm. That's not the case. Everything is still in God's control. And yet, Satan has dominion over the present state of things. I believe that's what the Bible teaches us. And how that's the way I see it, that how Satan has dominion over it, and yet God is still in full control. But if we do not see the kingdom of God and we are of the world, then we are in the darkness of, we can't see beyond the present state, the current affairs, that's which is called the world, or the way, the arrangement of the way things are, the way we know it, as long as we live here. And again, if things happen to us that are, if we endure hardship, we do well to see beyond. We do well to look beyond the present state of things. Look beyond the world, the current affairs. This is a very small portion. It is almost not. It is not almost nothing in the light of eternity. If we can, although it doesn't seem that way, that's the way it is. With that, I'd like to close. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you sent your Son to give us light and to give us hope. We know that you have revealed a mystery unto us that has not been revealed to many generations in the past. Through the sending of your Son, Jesus, you have revealed that to us, and you have opened the curtain that's been opened where we can see a bigger picture of how you defeated the world and how you intend to save the world, and how you have saved the world. We thank you for your Son Jesus, and we just pray that we could see a bigger picture of who you are beyond what we experience today. We just ask your blessing upon these people here. Pray that you'd be with us, and we continue to trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.